Scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. It is absolutely true and given to us in love.
Well, hey, if we haven't met before, my name is Eric. I'm one of the co-pastors here at Hope, alongside Harrison, and so glad to get to spend this Easter morning with you. Whether this is your first time coming to Hope or you have been a part of this church family for years, I think we are all in the same boat together this morning. You know, we are all here today because we want to know if there's a hope that actually holds up in the real world. And as we look at Matthew 28 together this morning, that's the one thing that I want us to see. Easter means that our dead ends, big ones and the small ones, don't have to be the last word. You know, one of the places that I've always wanted to visit is South Africa. You know, the safaris, the animals, the cricket stadiums, and if I ever get there, one of the places that I'm going to go is this beach right here. It's the southernmost part of Africa. It's beautiful. I mean, who wouldn't want to go there? Only for centuries, this wasn't some gorgeous place to go and take selfies at. It was a dead end where all sorts of hopes and dreams came to an end. Sailors called this place the Cape of Storms. Ships that were trying to sail around the bottom of Africa, they'd get to this point, and the currents there were so violent and strong that they'd lose control and they would just crash right into the rocks. No one made it through to the other side. This was the place where the map stopped. Well, in the story that we're looking at today, these two women, Mary and Mary Magdalene, who were some of Jesus' closest followers, have run into their own Cape of Storms. 3 days ago, their friend, their hope, their Savior was executed on a Roman cross. They watched Jesus die in the most public, humiliating way possible. They saw him laid in the tomb. The big stone rolled over the entrance. They know death's the ultimate dead end. No one gets past this. And we know kind of what that feeling is like, don't we? You know, we know what it's like to hit a point where we don't see a way through to the other side. You know, when we run into hard circumstances, it can feel like life is shaped like the letter L. Life takes us down, and then we just stay there. Maybe it's something small, you know, a friendship that broke up, burnout at work, marriage that's drifted into just managing a schedule together. Or maybe it's something big, a divorce, getting laid off, getting diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, a sin that you've promised is over, but you're still stuck in. We're constantly running into these places where it feels like life brings us down, and then we stay there. That this is where the map ends. Well, in 1497, a sailor named Vasco da Gama did what everybody thought was possible. He rounded the Cape and survived. You know, where everyone else had crashed into the rocks, he made it through to the other side. And when he did, they renamed the Cape of Storms into what it's called today, the Cape of Good Hope. Well, the women in our story are about to meet the only person in history who made it through the ultimate dead end, death itself, and came out alive on the other side. You know, Easter is a celebration that after he was crucified, Christ didn't stay in that tomb. He rose to a beautiful new life. He took the ultimate L, death itself, and bent it into a J on our behalf. That's the shape of the gospel. And because he rose, he offers us a power we don't have on our own. He can actually take the places in our lives that feel like that L, the places where we feel helpless, and bend them into a J. So let's follow these women to the tomb and see how Jesus takes us down with him in death and lifts us up with him in resurrection life. Well, if you'd been following the story in Matthew's gospel, Mary and Mary Magdalene have been going down and down and down. Matthew says they watched from a distance while Jesus, the person they had banked their entire lives on, was killed. They saw his body get laid in the tomb, the stone rolled over the entrance, and where we pick up the story, that they're sitting in the bottom of that L. It says in verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb." Now, ancient people, they weren't gullible. Nobody was expecting a resurrection. These two women aren't looking for a miracle, they're just looking for closure. You see, in an L-shaped life, you go down into the dark, and then the line just stays there. You know, in their minds, this is the end of the map. Jesus had an amazing life, he impacted thousands, but now the story's over. That big stone, that's the weight of the end. Those Roman soldiers, they're the authority of death. You see, you can't change the L. All you can do is manage it. So they brought spices to anoint Jesus' body and finish the burial. It looked like sin, evil, and death had the last word. So where does your life right now feel like it's shaped like an L? Now, what feels like that stone? Too heavy to move. Where have you been brought low and feel guarded by hard reality? Now, I've got some of my own. I've got prayers for how I want to change as a husband and a father that still feel miles away. I have friends suffering health battles. I don't seem to have any answers. I have reactions in my own heart that feel like they just are stuck on repeat. And when we get brought low, we usually try to manage life a few different ways. We can shut down. We accept the L. You know, the weight of the dead end, it feels like just too much to move. We stop hoping because hope feels too risky. Or we can buck up. We can try to force that L back into a straight line up. We think if we can just get more control, if we could work 10 more hours in a week, then we could work ourselves back up to the top. Or we numb out. And we try to escape the bottom. We scroll through our phones. We dive into work. We reach for that fifth beer. Something to help us pretend like that line at the bottom isn't flat. And I get it. I do. I have done all three of those. And all that is just trying to manage life at the bottom of that L. But here's the thing. The truth is, there's one L coming for us that none of us can manage. Eventually, we all run into the ultimate Cape of Storms, death, the place that no one comes back from. A few years ago, Burger King made this commercial where they left a Whopper out on the counter for 34 days. All right, now here's a picture of it at day one, looking pretty good. Now, to be fair, though, never have I ordered a Whopper and it's looked like that, right? It usually looks like someone sat on it in the back room. But here it is day one, all right? Here it is day 34. Right, take it in. Okay, let's all go get some lunch. The whole point of the commercial was our food molds and decays like real things do. Well, just like that Whopper, we're all decaying. You know, you might not feel it yet, but the mortality rate is one person for every one person. Eventually, we'll all hit the bottom of that L. We'll all hit the place where the map stops, and what's our hope then? We need the person these two women are about to meet. The only one powerful enough to bend our life from an L into a J because he's done it himself. Well, as Mary and Mary Magdalene get close to the tomb, the ground starts shaking. Matthew says in verse 2, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." That massive stone that stood between the women and their hope, it's now become this angel's sofa. And Matthew says his appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. I mean, the soldiers, they were supposed to make sure that the bottom of the L stayed that way. But standing now in the front of real authority, they're paralyzed. The grave's been broken. The dead ends become a doorway to new life. But how? How did the ultimate L of death get bent upwards? Because of what Jesus did 3 days earlier. Yeah, the angel turns to the women and says, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified." See, Jesus didn't avoid the Cape of Storms. He steered himself right into the heart of it. On the cross, he went down the ultimate L for us. Hanging there, he was condemned and cursed. He hit rock bottom suffering, the judgment for sin we earned so that he could freely give us the resurrection life we could never win. We could have never done enough in 100 lifetimes to pay the debt for our sin, but Jesus loved you so much, and his grace is so lavish, he went down into that darkness in your place. Don't be afraid, the angel said, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here, for he is risen, as he said. You know, on Good Friday, the world said no to Jesus. No to his love, no to his truth. But on Easter Sunday, God the Father said a world-changing yes to Jesus. Because Jesus' obedience was so perfect and his sacrifice so sufficient, the grave couldn't hold him. He rose with a body that can never mold and decay, with an indestructible life that says sin, death, and evil won't get the last word. And when Christ rose, he renamed the Cape of Good Storms into the Cape of Hope on our behalf. He took the dead end none of us can manage, death and judgment, and bent it up into a J. But the angel, he doesn't just announce the news. He also gives us an invitation. He says, come and see the place where he lay. Now think about what he's saying there. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. He's already gone. It was rolled away to let the women in. To let us in. See, this right here, this is the invitation for our doubts and skepticism. God isn't asking for blind faith. He's saying, look at the evidence. This wasn't some elaborate hoax. It was a public tomb in a real place. Jesus really lived. He really died. And now come and see the empty space where his body used to be. Because this story actually happened, it can carry the weight of whatever doubt or whatever question you brought in with you here today. But it doesn't end here. The women run away shaking, it says, with fear and great joy, till somebody meets them on the path. Verse 9 says, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. I mean, are you kidding me? Jesus, you just rose from the dead, conquering Satan, sin, and death. Don't you have more important things to do? A throne to claim? A world to rule? No. The very first thing the risen Christ does is find his two friends. See, Jesus didn't rise to prove a point. He rose to secure a relationship. The resurrection, it isn't just an idea to understand. It's a person to encounter, to fall in love with. It's the living Jesus who in the gospel has that same tender love for you today that he did for those two women. And by his Spirit, meaning his resurrection presence with us right now, Jesus finds you at the bottom of whatever L you're stuck in with that same tender love. So if we've trusted in Jesus, what does this mean for us? First, you're not alone. Whatever tomb you're visiting today, a marriage that's stuck, a child who left their faith, an addiction that's wrecking your life, Christ is there too. He's the only God who knows what it's like to wear grave clothes. He's been to the tomb before you. And when we turn to him, when we simply say yes to Jesus, he's now with you in yours. And he can take wherever you're stuck and bend it into a J. Now, as I say that, we've got to be honest. We live in a world where things still break, where friends still get cancer, where families still fall apart. Easter doesn't mean that if we trust in Jesus, everything in our lives will suddenly turn around. A lot of times, I know in my own life, the bottom of a J is long and painful. Sometimes we don't even see the other side of it in this life. There's a mystery to God's plan. And some things won't see resurrection until Jesus comes back. So this isn't saying that Christ will reverse every struggle today. Resurrection's God's work. We don't control it. And we don't always know how he's going to bring it about. It might be a doctor, a friend, a conversation. But Easter does mean the same Christ who's with you down there in the bottom of that J can lift you up to the other side. Easter means real change is possible. Because of his resurrection grace in us, tomorrow doesn't have to be like yesterday. In that marriage that's been stuck for years, Christ can slowly turn bitterness into new sacrificial love you couldn't have built on your own. It won't happen all at once, but the risen Jesus can take a dead couple and bring it back to life. And that pattern or addiction you can't get past, the same grace that broke the power of death can slowly break that cycle of shame leading to sin, leading to more shame. It's not some new strategy. It's the power of Christ's new life inside of you. In your depression, Jesus can take the cave you feel stuck in and turn it into a tunnel. Because he's with you, you're not walking into an endless dark hole. Easter means that even the graves in our minds now have an exit. Jesus has made an opening on the other side, even if it's a long time before you get there. And even as I say all of that, sometimes the other side of the J, it might not even look like change in our circumstances. We don't control resurrection, but when we're low and helpless, it means we can get curious. We can say, Jesus, I don't get what's happening right now, but I wonder what you're going to do. You see the difference? This isn't just managing the decay. This is the risen Jesus meeting us in the places that feel too heavy to move, and sharing with us his resurrection life. He takes what seems like an L and he bends it into a J. And this isn't just a one-time thing. Our life in the gospel becomes a beautiful lifetime of J-shaped stories. Because that's his story. That's the gospel story, and now he wants to make it your story too. And when we see the resurrection, when we see this, it changes how we experience the suffering and sin that pulls us down. Instead of feeling stuck, and instead of feeling like life is this L where we just get brought low and then we stay there, our lives become shaped like a J, where we go down with Jesus and are lifted up by Jesus. So what does his J-shaped story, what does it give us? Joy. Look back at verse 8. After seeing all this, it says, Mary and Mary Magdalene departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Now, hear me for a second. Resurrection joy is not naive, right? This is not thinking life will be pain-free. I mean, these two women, they are running to go tell the disciples news that all of those men will eventually lose their lives for. And this joy also doesn't come from trying to, you know, skip the dip and just go straight to the other side of the J. Resurrection joy has to first go down into Good Friday darkness. But it's a joy the Spirit of Jesus gives us as we see that if we belong to Christ, the greatest L we could ever face, death and eternity in hell, has been permanently bent into the most wonderful J, never-ending life in the presence of Jesus. Guys, because we are tethered today to the risen Christ, his J-shaped life, that becomes the map for our everyday moments. This grace is our present reality. So we can look for small glimpses of resurrection in the middle of our ordinary struggles. So how can we see the resurrection at work this week? Look for moments where you see the gospel shaping a new response in you. Maybe it's finding a second wind to serve your spouse when you're exhausted, or listening to someone tell you how you've hurt them without getting defensive. Those aren't insignificant moments. That's Jesus giving his resurrection life to you. Or notice in other people where you see Jesus in their life bending an L into a J. You know, a friend's depression slowly lifting. A marriage just starting to turn that corner to reconcile. A family member who's been running from the truth finally turning around in repentance. Yeah, but maybe you're here today and you're thinking, Eric, I don't even have the energy for that. I feel crushed. I feel like I'm at the bottom right now. I get it. You know, a couple of years ago, I had probably the hardest year of being a pastor that I've had. I wasn't seeing resurrection anywhere. And so I started in the mornings just spending a few minutes sitting on my couch and thinking back through my last day, just asking God, show me one place where there was life that day. Those are the moments where the risen Jesus comes to us and says, greetings. And as we see those moments, his Spirit grows in us a joy that doesn't depend on our circumstances, as Christ's story slowly starts to become our story. That's the grace we need. Because it means even when we can't find that J working out in our lives, when we just feel stuck at the bottom, our lives are still hidden in the risen Christ. Guys, the stone's been moved. The seal's been broken. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. By faith, the Father's yes over Jesus is now the final unchanging word over you. And when we say yes to Jesus, the one who rounded the cape of death and made it through to the other side, the one who bent the L into a J, now finds you on the path and starts walking with you every step of the way. So look. Look at the risen King. Maybe for the first time this morning, he's conquered death. He's risen to new life. And his resurrection grace is for you. Amen.